Well, today we're in this very last message in this series on dignity and worth, seeing yourself through God's eyes, seeing yourself the way God sees you. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I want to tell you something. Most of my, in my early Christian life, if I was in church and they were going to talk about seeing myself the way God saw me, that I would have been scared to death because I was taught that God sees everything that's wrong with you. God sees all your faults. God's always looking for every one of your failures. But I got great news for you. That's not the way God sees you. And I tell you, there is no way that in this four messages that we could cover all of the incredibly important heart change and paradigm shifting, identity influencing information that's in this series, Dignity and Worth, Seeing Yourself Through God's Eyes. But I'm going to tell you something. Today's message is one you don't want to miss. You want to take great notes, and you want to let all of your friends know about this, because when you start seeing yourself the way God sees you, everything changes. Man, you're going to get so much out of this incredible series on dignity and worth, seeing yourself through God's eyes. And that's the key thing. Listen, every decision that you're going to make for the rest of your life is going to be made out of your sense of self-worth, how you feel about yourself. God wants you to have an incredible sense of self-worth so that everything can be wonderful for you, so that life can work for you. See, it really doesn't matter if you got the right doctrine. You will not use it properly until you have dignity and worth. Hey, I'm Jim Richards. Listen, this is the last in this month's series on dignity and worth, seeing yourself through God's eyes. But I want you to realize that this series is a 10-week series. And I tell you, it has so much incredible information. And it's not just information, it's life-changing information. You see, in the beginning, God created man, and God crowned man with glory and honor. And you know that word glory, when it refers to man and how God sees man and how God relates to the man, is the same word for glory as the Bible uses when it talks about the glory of God. And you know, that's just beyond our comprehension for us to recognize. See, we were created in the likeness and the image of God. God views us and holds us in high esteem. Just the fact, just the word love, which is greatly connected to self-worth. Matter of fact, all self-worth actually comes from the degree that you feel valuable. And what makes a person feel valuable is to be loved. And the only source of consistent love in the world is going to be the love that we have from the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. But just keep this in mind. Every decision that you make, the way you interpret everything around you, the way you pass judgments about what people mean when they say something, everything that happens, or every interpretation of everything that happens, is based on your sense of self-worth. You know, many times you think people are being insulting, or you think people are being rude, and it's just a judgment that emerges because of the way that you feel about yourself. And until you feel better about yourself, until you feel about yourself the way God wants you to feel, I got news for you. You're going to keep making bad decisions. You're going to keep getting in bad relationships. You're going to keep trusting the wrong people. And you're going to have the same emotional struggles. And that's the thing. All of our emotional struggles, everything that we do in life, is directly related to how we feel about ourselves. Now, we've got to come to see ourselves through God's eyes. And I'm telling you something. There was a time in my life, when there's a scripture that says that the time will come and we will know ourselves. We will know as we are known. And boy, that used to scare the daylights out of me to think, oh my God, I don't want to stand before God and see everything that's wrong with me. Well, I got news for you. You know, those of us who are in Jesus, we will never stand before God and have our faults pointed out. We don't stand before the white throne judgment where people are judged, their righteousness is judged by their works. We stand before the judgment seat of Christ because we have accepted Jesus as our righteousness, and we're only there to receive rewards. You see, God crowned us with glory and honor when we were created. And of course, man, everything that man did after sin came into the world, basically was a destruction of who we really were in the likeness and image of God. You know, one of the most common scriptures that we all know is the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I've been telling people this for years. Sin is not about what you do wrong. Sin is about falling short of who you really are, falling short of the glory of God. You see, we are the glory of God and planet Earth. I'm going to show this to you today, and this is just going to blow your mind. You know, first of all, we got to understand, you know, what glory is. I'll read this scripture in Matthew 6, 2. It says, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory from men. So you start realizing that glory has to do with honor. It has to do with being held in high regard. It has to do with being respected and all of those kinds of things. So it's telling this person, you know, don't do these good works just so that you'll have the glory of man. And this is the exact same word, doxa, that talks about the glory of God. And the word glory, when it talks about God, it's talking about the splendor, the greatness, you know, the wonder, the majesty. And then ultimately, it comes down also to the view, the opinion, and the reality. So you have to realize that glory has to do with all of these wonderful attributes that we share because we are created in the likeness and the image of God, and because we have really glorified God through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, what people don't realize is we have the glory of God. We are the glory of God in planet Earth. Listen to this. And people, you listen to one of these scriptures, you know, just everybody just skips over this because if you believe what religion tells you, you ain't never going to get this scripture. John 17, 22 says this, and this is Jesus speaking to the disciples. He says, and the glory, or actually he's praying, he's speaking to the Father. He says, the glory which you gave me, I have given them that they may be one just as we are one. Man, Jesus says that to his followers, here's a disciple. If you're a disciple, then Jesus says that you have the same glory that he has. And in this verse, he connects glory to being one with God. And this is really incredibly significant. So just based on this scripture right here, you say, okay, then we have the glory of God. Now, this could mean that he bestows on us the same glory, the same majesty, the same honor, or it could mean that he holds us in the same honor and majesty that God held him. So it could be saying this is a gift that we receive from him, and really we do because we're in him. We're the glory of God in Christ Jesus. But this also means that we are viewed the same way that God views Jesus, when we are held in the same esteem that God held Jesus. And also, you know, the Bible connects the glory of God to love. Listen to this. In John 17, 24, Jesus goes on. He's praying. He says, Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. So you see, love and glory are intimately connected because, remember, glory has to do with value, has to do with something being precious. Well, that's what the agape love of God is. The agape of God means to value something, to consider it precious, to hold it in high regard. This is how God sees and how God relates to man. He holds us in incredibly high regard. He has great value for us. Even when we were sinners, the Bible says that God loved us. And that's that Greek word agape. Listen, when you were committing your worst sin, when you were doing your most deplorable act, before you ever prayed, before you ever lived 1 minute for God, God valued you. God considered your life precious. God held you in high regard. And the Bible says, how much more now that we're in Jesus, now that we've been redeemed, now that we've believed on him as Lord. I'm going to tell you something, man. Religion has cheated us out of our identity. It has cheated us out of the capacity to walk through life. See, if you feel like a loser and you get an opportunity for a business deal to come your way, then you're going to start making business decisions like a loser would make. If you feel unworthy to be loved, you may get into the relationship that has the greatest potential for the happiness of your whole life. But see, if you don't feel lovable or worthy of being loved, then you're going to relate to that other person as somebody who is unlovable, and you're going to destroy that relationship. Every decision you make, every relationship that you develop is all designed to fit your sense of self-worth, how you see yourself, and all that's based on you know, your identity in Christ. Now, we said earlier that, remember, sin, see, we all think of sin as the things that we do wrong, the things where we disappoint God, the things where we make God mad. Man, there's nothing further from the truth. In the beginning, we were created in the likeness and the image of God, and we were crowned with glory and honor. And when sin came into the world, it came into the world for one reason. Man did not believe that he really was who God said he was. You know, the serpent came and said, look, if you'll eat of this tree, you'll be like God. They already were like God. They just didn't believe it. And so out of this belief, out of this sense of identity, out of this sense of self-worth, then they began to function as people who were not created in the likeness and image of God. Listen, if you've got a sin problem, you can try to attack the sin all day long. You can try to attack the thing you're doing wrong all day long, but I got news for you. Until you believe the truth about who you are in Jesus, until you believe that you're the righteousness of God in Christ, I got news for you. That sin problem is not going to go away because it's all based on your identity, your self-worth, your self-image. It's all based on how you see and experience yourself. We read this scripture early, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, sin is anything that causes us to fall short of the glory of God. Sin is anything that causes us to see, experience, or function less than being like God, less than being just like Jesus, you see? So we talked about this at the beginning of this series. In the beginning, the Bible says that God crowned man with glory and honor. You know, it's really interesting because in the book of Psalms, I believe it's Psalms 8 where the scripture is first mentioned, it says that man was made just a little lower than the angels. And there's prevalent teaching out there about this, the splendor of Lucifer before he fell and all this majesty and all this power he supposedly has in planet Earth. And he doesn't. All of that came out of Dante's Inferno, Greek mysticism. It didn't come out of the Bible because that word there where it says that God crowned man with glory and honor and he was created just a little lower than the angels. That word angels in the Hebrew is not the word angels at all. It's the Hebrew word Elohim. And the Hebrew word Elohim is the word that is used to describe the Godhead. Man was never created lower than the angels. Man was created just a little lower than the Godhead. And in fact, in the book of Hebrews, it confirms this where it says that angels were created to be the servants of those who were the heirs of salvation. Angels have never been superior to man. Lucifer has never been superior to man. See, you can't have dignity and worth. You can't feel good about yourself if you think that the devil is on the prowl and he's more important than you are, more powerful than you are, more wonderful than you are, more splendid than you are, and that you think that God would let him beat up on you and do all these things to you. I'll tell you something. When you believe the truth about who you are, you'll start believing the truth about who the devil really is. You know, the devil's a loser. He's a failure. He was cast out of heaven. You know, if he had not backslidden, he would be your servant on some level. Now that he's backslidden, he's just an out-of-work servant. That's all. And I'm going to tell you something. When you see and experience yourself the way God created you, I got news for you. You're not going to be afraid of the devil. You're not really going to be afraid of much of anything because you're going to know who you are. You're going to know who God is. You see, in Christ, the Bible says that Christ in you is the hope of the glory of God. In Christ, we have the hope of bringing ourselves back to the glory of God. And that word hope means the confident expectation. In Christ Jesus, we have the confident expectation of the view, the opinion of God, the wonder, the majesty, the greatness of God being our reality in this life now. And people who look at what Jesus really did at the cross, people who look at the cross and just like the Apostle John said, he says, you know, it was through the propitiation, the satisfying of wrath, that we see the love of God that he has for us. I'll tell you, when you start recognizing what Jesus really did for you at the cross, you know, there's a movement right now that says, Jesus didn't have to become your sin and satisfy wrath. God was never upset about anything. I got news for you. That sounds sweet, and that sounds like that cause you to see the love of God. The real truth is that will pervert the love of God, and it'll take you away from the love of God, and it'll definitely take you away from glorifying God. Because you see, until I look at the cross and see the truth about the sacrifice that Jesus made, see the truth about the price that he paid, see the truth about what he went through so that I wouldn't have to go through it, then and only then do I have a basis, according to the Bible, for grasping the love that God has for me. And when I grasp the love that God has for me through the Lord Jesus, that's when the glory of God begins to manifest in my life. That's when I begin to see myself the way God sees me. That's when I begin to see how much I'm loved, how much I'm anointed, how much I'm called, how much I'm chosen, how much I'm approved, how precious I am, how valuable I am. And that's not ego talking. There's some people say, oh, that's ego, man. You got to, you know, you got to hang your head down and be humble. Well, humility isn't when you deny the Word of God. See, when you refuse to admit who you are in Jesus, when you refuse to see yourself as the righteousness of God, when you refuse to see how precious you are to God, man, you're not in humility. You're in pride, arrogance, and unbelief. You are refusing to believe what Jesus did for you. You're just like Adam in the garden, you know. You don't believe that you are who God says you are. So what are you going to do? In that state of low self-worth, in that state of not having any dignity, not having any glory in your life, I'll tell you what you're going to do. Instead of accepting it as a gift from God, you're going to try to earn it. And you're going to say, Jesus, your sacrifice wasn't enough for me, so I'm going to earn this. I'm going to do a bunch of good works. I'm going to earn this. I'm going to earn righteousness. I'm going to earn right standing with God. I'm going to make God love me. I'm going to make God have value for me. Listen, that's never, ever, ever going to happen. You know, it's really interesting. The Bible connects glorifying God with our faith. And this is really interesting. You know, when you go, and we talked about this, I think, last week. When you go into the Old Testament, the Bible tells you that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And you see the concept of the fear of God all through the Old Testament. And we've already talked about this. This doesn't mean to be afraid that God's going to kill you. This word for fear, Jesus quoted one of these passages of Scripture, and he interpreted that word as worship. You shall serve the Lord God, and him only shall you worship. And so if Jesus understood it as worship, we need to understand it as worship. And from the Hebrew, the concept of the fear of God means that you hold God in an awe, in a respect that promotes loyalty, that promotes dedication, that promotes worship, that promotes love. And I'm going to tell you something. See, faith is not just working a bunch of formulas. Faith is directly connected to really how we glorify God. In other words, the way we see God. Do we see God in his greatness? Do we look at God and we're in awe and we're in respect and we're overwhelmed at his goodness and we walk tenderly before him, not because we're afraid he'll hurt us, but we walk tenderly before him because we're just so stupefied. We're so amazed that we're able to enter into the presence of God. See, reverence. I want to tell you something. Reverence is so lacking from 21st century Christianity. But you see, reverence has to do with glorifying God. Listen to this. You know, it talks about Abraham. It talks about how that Abraham, and boy, there's so much we don't get about Abraham. You know, Abraham actually was born during the time of Nimrod. And Abraham's father was an idolater that was involved with Nimrod at the Tower of Babel. And when Abraham was born, Nimrod was actually killing all of the children for fear that God was raising somebody up to oppose him. And Abraham's father hid him in a cave and ultimately got him away from Nimrod. And so all Abraham had ever known was idolatry. All he had ever known, all he had ever seen was something that was totally opposed to the Creator. But Abraham made this journey from Ur of the Chaldees, this 25-year journey from Ur of the Chaldees to the land of Canaan, to having a baby, actually having two children. and wanting the first one to be the promised child or the promised one, and having to send him away because he had created that child in his own flesh and his own dead works. And God gives him Isaac. And even after Isaac is born, Isaac's about 17 years old before he ever gets takes him up on this mountain, and God says, you're still not believing this, so you got to sacrifice him. Well, what God had to bring Abraham to the place to see was that even if he killed Isaac, God would raise him up again. Finally, there, which the 25 years it took Abraham to get to Canaan, then the 17 years that he raised Isaac, this is 42 years that finally Abraham broke free, totally broke free of all of that stuff from his past, and was able to get established in God's covenant. But you see, he went through a process, and Romans 4:20 says that he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Now, that word for glory, and in Romans chapter 4, there's two different words for glory. One of them means to rejoice and to boast, and one of them is the word doxa, which gets back into seeing the majesty. Abraham constantly developed his sense of who God was. He constantly saw and recognized and honored God in everything that he did. And the more he acknowledged God, the more he was able to see God in a bigger way. And the more he was able to see God in a bigger way and understand who God really was, the more he was able to keep himself stable, to keep his faith strong. I want to tell you something. Faith is not a formula. Faith is about trust for an individual. And if you don't know that individual, if you don't reverence that individual, if you don't see his majesty and glory and his handiwork, man, I'll tell you what, then you're going to have trouble trusting him. And you would never remain stable through a 42-year journey. You might not even remain stable through a 40-minute journey if you don't see who God really is, if there's a lack of reverence. Yeah, I want to tell you something. When we come to Jesus, we're supposed to accept him as Lord, not just Savior. This means that we say, you know what? I might not know much about who you are, but as much as I can, I'm giving you my life. I'm going to follow you with my whole heart. I'm going to find out who you are. And then we start reading the Bible, and we don't listen to religion, and we start reading the Bible to see who Jesus really is, because he's a perfect representation of God. And see, when we see who he is to God, and we see that he died for us and paid this price, and we start seeing who we are to God. We start seeing how precious we are to God. And man, I'm telling you something, we begin to be able to glorify God, to see and experience the majesty, the wonder, the splendor of God. But more than anything, we begin to see God's reality as opposed to all the other stuff that that we look around and see. I want to tell you something. God holds you an incredible honor and respect and value. And really, if we hold God, if we glorify God, and again, that means to hold him and to see him as majestic, as wonderful, as and all of these kinds of things. And I'm going to tell you something, you can't do that if you listen to religion. Religion has turned more people against God than probably any other factor in the whole world, because religion has made man blaspheme. That's why our slogan or our mission statement here at Impact Ministries is changing the way the world sees God, because the world hates God because of the way religious leaders have portrayed him. But the Bible says the day will come and people will say, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of them who proclaim the gospel of peace. Why? Because they'll see God as he really is. God has made peace with us through the Lord Jesus. God has paid an incredible price. And when you connect to that, how you feel about yourself changes. Listen, you should be walking through life always expecting the best, always expecting things to work out. When something goes wrong, instead of looking at it and falling apart, you say, you know something? I'm going to keep following God because I know there's something better for me in the future. No matter what happens in your life, if you glorify God and you know how he sees you and you're experiencing that, I'm going to tell you, you walk through the world with your head up. You walk through the world confident because you know who God is and you know who you are. And then and only then does the world see the glory of God. I'll tell you something. You know, we've had all these ideas that the world sees the glory of God you know, through all these mystical kinds of things and through, you know, through signs and wonders. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said, we're the glory of God. You see, when we walk in planet Earth as God ordained us to walk with glory and honor, that's when people see the glory of God. That's when the world honors and respects God the way they're supposed to, because they see Him in us and in the way that we treat Him. Listen, I got a mentoring moment I want to share with you, so don't go away. I'll be back in just a few minutes. I want you to take something away from this that's going to change your life forever. You know, if we want to glorify God, here's how it happens. We recognize who God is through the Lord Jesus Christ, not through religion, not through church, not through our interpretation of scriptures. We look at how Jesus treated people. We look at the fact that He healed, He loved, He forgave, He was full of mercy. And then ultimately, we look at what He did at the cross. He became our sin. He took our punishment. He took the wrath of God for us. He gave us His righteousness. You see, when we see God as He really is through the Lord Jesus Christ, then we glorify God. But then when we see ourselves as we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, we glorify God even more. I want to tell you something. The most important thing that you can do is put on Christ. In other words, put on your new identity in Jesus. It, no matter what it takes, you, until you get to where you have a sense of dignity and worth, you should get up every single morning and you should spend time acknowledging scriptures and worshiping God and acknowledging who you are in Jesus, meditating on it, pondering on it, doing everything you can to see yourself as you really are and seeing God who He really is. At the end of the day, God said that Jesus came so we could have abundant life. Jesus said we have abundant life because we know Him. We know who He really is and we experience Him. This is how you glorify God. And this is how God is glorified in the earth. Listen, I've said it over and over again. There's probably not many series that have influenced as many thousands of people as this series, Dignity and Worth, Seeing Yourself Through the Eyes of God. Do everything you can to invest in who you are in Jesus so you see how incredibly important and significant you are to God, and how incredibly significant you are to the world around you.